I'm Lou Boston. I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank all of you for it. We've had great attendance. We've had it's everything we could have hoped and prayed for, and we're going to end it up tonight with the 12th tradition. To tell you a little bit about the tapes, rather than me trying to relay the information, I'm going to have Chris tell you that you've lost all your money. And no, he'll tell you about the tapes.
I'm Chris Gill. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Chris.
We have everyone's phone number who has paid for their tapes, and what we're going to do is once we get the sets made in a couple of weeks, we'll be contacting you about how we're going to get them to you, and we're going to try to meet you at a meeting or ship it to you if we need to, but we're going to get them to you for sure. So.
Did you hear him, David? Okay. Anybody got any questions about that before we get started? It'll be about 2 weeks probably or whatever. Let me reiterate the rules. This is not an AA meeting. This is a tradition lecture. There's no discussion unless the facilitator or the lecturer opens it up at the end of the session. Then you can ask questions. You might have accumulated some questions over the 12 weeks. If you do, please feel free to ask Mr. Wright, because he's very astute at these.
Took that last week's thing seriously, didn't you?
Yeah. I was off. I'm sorry I missed last week. I was off enhancing my spirituality. So.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm trying to think if there's anything. If you know, here again, if you have any complaints or anything, you see Howard and his able assistant Murph. You know, they're in charge of the building. Linwood, we're glad to see you here tonight. Thank you for joining us. Let's say the serenity prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. We're very privileged tonight in having the person present to us the 12th and final tradition. To tell you how much we think of this person, he's the only one that did two of them. He did number one, and he's winding up on number 12. And I know that we're all in for a treat. As I've always said, he's one of my favorite people. If I want to emulate anybody in AA, he is one of them. And put a little pressure on him. But, you know, as I've said each week, this is going to be the best one yet. Well, here it is. This is the best one yet. Let's give Dick Wright a big welcome.
Are the doors locked?
Nobody's getting out there.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad. This is a pretty impressive group of people to attempt to do anything in front of. I'm humbled at that. And Lou, thank you for those kind comments. I wish that I felt I could measure up just a little bit to those. I really don't know that I can, but thank you for those anyway. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to see you here. I'm glad to be able to wind this thing up. Those of you have been going through this ritual now for several Thursday nights, probably glad too. I'm here to share with you something about the 12th tradition. Okay? Now, I suspect that I wasn't here last week, but I think I know some of the things that were said. Okay? So in keeping with that, I will tell you that my name is Richard Wesley Wright. I'm an alcoholic. I live at 8416 Potter's Road in Matthews, North Carolina, zip code 28105. My telephone number is 821-5120. I drive a beat-up old 1984 Toyota pickup. tell you, I'm 6'3", I weigh about 195 pounds. And I got sober on October 17, 1965. Is that keeping with last week? I believe you'll find that this discussion of the 12th tradition will be interesting and enlightening. The 12th tradition is kind of an evasive tradition because, we kind of get down the end of the traditions when we hear them at a meeting and we're about done with them, and some of them are kind of, we kind of say, boy, glad we're over with these 12 and now we can get on with a meeting. And maybe we don't understand it. I didn't understand it, quite frankly, until I started to study the traditions a little bit and see what the traditions really meant or what I think they meant for them to mean for you and for me. In some introductory comments, I know that we all understand exactly how the program that saved your life and my life has been orchestrated by a power greater than humans. We can see God's hand in it from the beginning, in the heritage, as some events occurred in history that came down to that great event in the gatehouse of the Seimerling Estate on Mother's Day, 1935, when Bill and Dr. Bob met. And if you don't believe that, I'll share it with you sometime, because if you pull out any of the events that occurred up until then, you see the deal doesn't happen. And so God had a hand in it. And I firmly believe, and I hope you do, that God picked the right people to get this thing off the ground. And then he worked with a guy like Bill Wilson, a real alcoholic, and a guy like Dr. Bob Smith, another real alcoholic, to carry a message to you and to me, real alcoholics. The thing is laced with God's influence, using people who knew the alcoholic and knew what we needed to hear so that we would understand clearly what we were and what we had to do and to recover from a disease that was fatal and mortal. Bill, as a vessel, he called himself a vessel for God, was a cunning, baffling, and powerful individual, especially when it came in the area of alcoholism. He was a real alcoholic, and he knew what you and I would need. He just what God needed to ordain something that would save our lives. And as I discuss the 12th tradition with you, I want to show you some things on how he deals with us as alcoholics and how he's going to deal with us in understanding what he means in the 12th tradition, what God helped him to mean in the 12th tradition. You know, Bill, remember how he ended chapter 3 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the textbook? If you forget that, I'll remind you in a minute. Now, he'd been telling us for 43 pages and a few Roman numeral pages. That's a quarter of the 164 pages in the book. He'd been telling us some things. Here's what he'd been telling us. Our ideals must be grounded in a power greater than ourselves if we are to recreate our lives. Silkworth. He said, huge displacements and rearrangements that appeared in the form of vital spiritual experiences were necessary. Carl Jung. He said, we had placed ourselves beyond human aid. Page 24. That we had to have deep and effective spiritual experiences. Page 25. Told us several stories about alcoholics. Jim, Fred, others in there. The guy who quit drinking it for 25 years or so. Who knew about alcoholism, who knew something about the solution. Some had some self-knowledge and some knowledge. Who, in one case, Jim's case, made a beginning, probably took step 3, yet whose minds told them a lie before they took that first drink. We had all this information in 43 pages, but see what Bill does in the last paragraph of chapter 3. He says, colon, once more, colon. alcoholic minds, self-will, strong self-will people. Once more, let me be real sure you understand what I've been trying to get through your thick head for 43 pages now. He says the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against that first drink. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. That defense must come from a higher power, you see. He knew he was dealing with alcoholics. He knew he was dealing with people who were strong-willed people. We're not weak-willed people. You know that, don't you? You know, weak-willed people don't ever become alcoholics. Weak-willed people, you know, we were told we were weak-willed before we got here. You know, if you just had a little willpower, but we're not weak-willed people. Weak-willed people don't become alcoholics. First time a weak-willed person comes to in the morning, doesn't remember where they've been last night, who they've been with, what they did, how they got home, sick all day, can't keep ice water on their stomach. Weak little person says, I ain't never going to do that again, and they don't. Weak will. Strong will person says, there got to be a way. Strong will people. Bill knew that. See, he'd been telling us over and over what we had to have if we're going to recover from this thing, but he sums it up and he said, once more, let me try to get it through your thick skull. He does this over and over again. So can't you just see him when God and working through him had put together these traditions, when he got through with number 11, sitting back and saying to himself, God has led me to put together these guidelines which will ensure unity and longevity of this great program, but I better sum it all up just to make sure that they get the big picture of what we've been saying in the first 11 traditions and the rest of the program as far as that goes. So he does that with tradition 12. Undoubtedly right where it belongs. Although he probably could have put it as an appendix, an addendum to any one of the other traditions or any part of the program, as far as that goes. That tradition says, as we all know, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. The long form on pages 567, 68 in the basic text says this, and finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him, capital H, who presides over us all. Bill likes to first off, establish the need for something. He does that in most of the steps in the big book after step 3. He tells us why we need to practice a step. And thanks to one of my friends that recently tells us what happens if we don't. He tells us how to do it and to give us the results. So he does establish the need for the 12th tradition in the pamphlet AA Tradition, How It Developed, on page 40 and 41. He establishes a need. Here's what he says. As never before, the struggle for power, listen to this closely because I'm going to show you how he establishes the need here. As never before, the struggle for power, importance, and wealth is tearing civilization apart. Now, he wrote that back in 1946, so what do you think he'd write today in 1998? Man against man, family against family, group against group, nation against nation. Nearly all those engaged in this fierce competition declare that their aim is peace and justice for themselves. Nearly everyone. Read the newspaper. Full of them. Listen to the radio news. Watch the TV news. Nearly all these engaged in this fierce competition declare that their aim is peace and justice for themselves, their neighbors, and their nations. Give us power and we shall have justice. Give us fame and we will set a great example. Give us money and we will be comfortable and happy. People throughout the world deeply believe that and act accordingly. On this appalling dry bender, Bill likes that term, society seems to be staggering down a dead-end road. The stop sign is clearly marked. It says, disaster. So he put the 12th tradition in there to help us understand our role in the program as individuals, members of AA, and how this term anonymity is important to us. Now, we have to be very careful not to confuse the word anonymity as it's used in the 12th tradition with the use of it in tradition 11 that you had last week. Who did that last week? Oh, Bill did. She did last week. Anonymity, as it's used in the 11th tradition, is used specifically for that purpose. That is to demonstrate the use of the word as far as using my last name or other identification at the level of press, radio, and film, or how I might feel free. You may have heard this last week. How I might feel free to use it with AA people and within the AA group setting. But we don't want to confuse that term in tradition 11 with the more specific use, with how it's used in its broad general application in tradition 12. You might be interested to know, for example, that anonymity is not in the dictionary. How about that? Nor is it in Roger's thesaurus. Maybe Bill knew this. Maybe that's why he used it, see? Maybe he used the word anonymity. The only reference to it is a part of the definition of anonymous, where it says quality or state of being anonymous. But specifically, it's not in the dictionary, and it's not in the thesaurus. So it's a peculiar word. Maybe we'll find out more about that word as we look at what Bill and what the Alcoholics Anonymous format says about it. Maybe Bill knew he wasn't there. Maybe that's why he wanted us to study and learn more about that word. Or maybe he knew that we wouldn't look it up if it were there. Now, since there's no definition for the word anonymity, Bill starts off by repeating several other words that are more familiar to us to be sure that we know what he's talking about when he uses this word in the 12th tradition. Some of those other words that we've already heard tonight are sacrifice. Another one that he uses is restraint. Another one that he just used was humility. So he uses three words right off the bat, sacrifice, restraint, and humility, to further describe with words that may be more familiar with us, to us, what he means about anonymity that's not in the dictionary, as he uses it in tradition 12. He adds at the beginning of tradition 12, in the 12 and 12, he says this: the spiritual substance of anonymity is sacrifice. Because AA's 12 traditions repeatedly ask us to give up personal desires for the common good, we realize that the sacrificial spirit, well symbolized by anonymity, is the foundation of them all, the other 11. It is AA's proved willingness to make these sacrifices that gives people their high confidence of our future. Gives us confidence with ourselves that we're going to survive. But remember the other thing that the traditions was designed to do, to cultivate and gain the confidence of the general public and the world around us. Boy, we've done a good job of that. Probably done as good a job with that as we have of working together as individuals. As the public out there has great, great confidence in the program Alcoholics Anonymous and you and me. Okay, so maybe we need to look at the definitions of those three words that he's already used to describe anonymity, words that are more familiar with us, to us. Sacrifice, forfeiture of something highly valued for the sake of one considered to have a greater value. Okay, forfeiture of something that I highly value for the sake of another idea or theory that has even more value. Restraint, control of or repression of feelings. Okay, get that, control or repression of feelings. Humility, quality marked by meekness or modesty in behavior, attitude, or spirit. Not arrogant or prideful, low in rank, low in quality, low in station. So he uses these three words defined that way, they are in the dictionary, to tell us about what he means with anonymity. He's going to tell us some more as we go on. So now, you see, if we might look at some of the other words in the tradition, in Tradition 12, to find out specifically what they mean. So let's look at spiritual, that's the next one. Anonymity is a spiritual, what does that mean? Having no body, no body, B-O-D-Y, non-material, immaterial, non-materialistic, bodiless, unworldly, not tangible, is concerned with or affecting the soul, spirituality, spiritual. Foundation, we all know what that means. But the dictionary says it's about the basis on which a thing is supported, the basis. The dictionary defines principles as basics, just basics. It describes personalities, love this, the totality of qualities and traits as of character or behavior that are peculiar to a specific person or persons. Personality. So, I guess if we wanted to reword the tradition a little bit, not rewrite it at all, but reword it so that what we've learned up to now might clarify a little bit about what Bill intended for this tradition to mean, it might sound something like this. Sacrifice, restraint, and humility, and giving up personal desires are the spiritual foundation of all the traditions, ever reminding us to place all of the principles of this great program before the character and or behavior of its members. Okay, everybody get that? But Bill wasn't done. He wasn't finished yet. He further sums it up by making a bold statement. We see it in the 12 and 12, we see it in AA Comes of Age, we see it in other materials. He says, personal ambition has no place in AA. Personal ambition has no place in AA. Later, he adds to that even. He's not really satisfied with that statement, and he says, personal ambitions and desires have no place in AA. That's a bold statement. That's strong stuff. So now you see what he adds to it to see what anonymity means at this point as he uses it in the 12th tradition. It means sacrifice. It means restraint. It means humility. It means giving up personal desires. And it means giving up personal ambitions. Clearly said. That's not Dick Wright's opinion. That's right out of the material, folks. I'm not going to have many opinions tonight. I know that you'd be grateful for that. Okay, let's see how this works in the whole program, including the 12 traditions. You know, the steps, what the steps say, we all know what they say. Step one, admitting powerlessness and unmanageability. Step two, coming to believe in a power greater than me. Step three, turning my will and my life over to something that I'm just barely understanding. Four, taking an inventory. Five, admitting to someone else the exact nature of my wrongs. Six and seven, being entirely ready and humbly asking him, capital H, to remove these things from me. Eight and nine, making amends. 10, continuing to take inventory on a daily basis. When I'm wrong, admit it. 11, praying only for knowledge of his will for me. Step 12, practice these principles in all my affairs. In the pamphlet, 12 Traditions Illustrated, here's what they said about those things that we've talked about, explaining anonymity, how they apply to the steps. Here's what they said. Big shotism, hyphenated, and phony thinking had to go. We had to toss self-justification, self-pity, and anger right out the window. We had to quit the crazy contest of personal prestige and big bank balances. We had to take personal responsibility for our sorry state and quit blaming others. Were these sacrifices? Yes, they were. To gain enough humility and self-respect to stay alive at all, we had to give up what had really been our dearest possession, our ambitions and our illegitimate pride. But even this was not enough. You know, he says we had to do that to get down to step 12. He says even this was not enough. Sacrifice had to go much further. Other people had to benefit too. So we took on some 12 step work. We began to carry the AA message. We sacrificed time, energy, and our own money to do this. We couldn't keep what we had unless we gave it away. When we use the 12 steps to recover from alcoholism, it says we are each trying to achieve real humility, to put our self-respect on a solid base of truth rather than on fantasies about ourselves. Again, he says this in 12 Traditions Illustrated. So he shows us how anonymity, sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desire, giving up personal ambitions, as it's described, had so much to do with the personal program of recovery outlined in the steps. Without it, I could not recover. Without them, without sacrifice, without restraint, without humility, I cannot recover. And I know what happens when I don't recover. I die. Go mad or die, Bill said. Two things. I have two options if I don't recover. Go mad or die. One or the other. Now he goes further in the 12 Traditions Illustrated pamphlet to discuss and to explain how anonymity is laced throughout each one of the traditions. You notice now, though, he's added another name with this stuff we just read. So now we got sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desires, giving up personal ambitions. No big shotism. Not a book. Not mine. No big shotism. Anonymity. Okay. On Tradition 1, it shows, he tells in there, how anonymity, as we've now further defined it, applies to Tradition 1, unity at all costs. That is my saying, okay? we're not recovering on our own. We should control our personal desires and ambitions in order to guard the unity of our group and our fellowship. Pretty clear how they apply to tradition one. Tradition two, God is in charge. We ought not fancy ourselves as big shots in AA no matter what office we hold. That comes out of the pamphlet, that's not me. Tradition three, desire to stop drinking only is a membership requirement. Listen to what he says. We're not entitled to rule on the qualifications of other alcoholics seeking the same help that we have had. Sacrifice, restraint, humility. Tradition four, each group, allow each group to be autonomous. A group needs humility too, and despite my personal desires and wishes, can function just as it pleases, as long as it doesn't adversely affect another group or the fellowship as a whole. Despite how I feel about it. Despite what my personal feelings are. Have to lay those aside. Anonymity. Tradition five, just one purpose. We're not evangelists, nor are we gurus out to save humanity. We are anonymous. That means sacrificial, humble, spiritual alcoholics trying to help other alcoholics, period. Tradition six and seven, can't endorse, finance, or lend the name, gotta be self-supporting. In the rising battle against alcoholism, it says we ought not let our pride in AA mislead us into linking our fellowship with other agencies. Hard for the alcoholic to do that. You know, we want to link ourselves with other folks, share with them what's been so greatly affected our lives, you know. But we can't do that. Sacrifice. In order to bid for a share of their power, prestige, and funds, we instead direct all of our efforts toward AA's own unique purpose. Sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desire, giving up personal ambitions, no big shotism, anonymity. Tradition 8, non-professional. 12-step work cannot be measured in money. Can't be paid for 12-step work. We've received advance payment for it in coin of far greater worth, they say, our very lives. We must permit service centers to maintain AA humility also by paying their employees decent wages. As we heard during that tradition, I'm sure that they're worthy of their hire. But I have to give up and sacrifice and restrain from my personal feelings about this. Tradition 9, no organization. When we're given special responsibility in AA, these are opportunities to serve, not titles to flaunt. Restraint, sacrifice, giving up personal desires. Tradition 10, no opinion on outside issues. We refuse to set ourselves up as general authorities, swinging our collective weight around in the public arena. Same thing. 11, can't disclose our identity at the level of press, radio, film, or television, or media level of any sort. We don't want to sell our program as a surefire remedy in the extravagant terms of a promotional campaign, nor do we wish to dramatize it by identifying noted people in AA, thereby implying that recovery has been for each of us an individual accomplishment. Let me read that again in case Bill didn't get it, last didn't cover it. The reason that we're not supposed to do that is we should not dramatize the program by identifying noted people in AA, therefore implying to the people who read it, who receive this information, the general public out there, that recovery has been an individual accomplishment. And that's exactly how they'd interpret it. They would interpret it, and do probably. Okay? Now, then he has some other comments about anonymity as it applies to the in 12 traditions illustrated, or the last two paragraphs of the 12 and 12. He says, if anonymity, sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desires, giving up personal ambitions, no big shotism, has already done these things for us in the program, in the steps, and in working the first and applying the first 11 traditions, he says, we surely ought to continue it as a national policy for Alcoholics Anonymous. So very valuable to us now, it may be an incalculable asset in the future. In a spiritual sense, this is in italics, so it means pay particular attention. In a spiritual sense, anonymity amounts to, see, he wasn't satisfied with the words he'd given us so far. Let me give you another one, he says here. There's it comes a good one, you know. Like, let me give you another one, okay? He says, in a spiritual sense, anonymity amounts to the renunciation of personal prestige. So he gives us another one, add to the list. As an instrument of national policy in Alcoholics Anonymous. I am confident that we shall do well to preserve this powerful principle, that we should resolve never to let it go. That really comes out of Language of the Heart, page 18. Bill wrote it in 1946. So now anonymity means sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desires, giving up personal ambitions, no big shotism, renunciation of personal prestige. Are we getting it? And we understand now what he means in Tradition 12 when he's talking about anonymity. He wound up the 12 in the 12 and 12 by saying this, Bill did, that he said that he says this on page 136 of Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age. Today, he says, I hope I have come, Bill says this, to a time in my life when I can obey because I really want to obey. Because I really want the traditions for myself as well as for AA as a whole. Therefore, each of our 12 traditions is really an expression of the deflation that each of us has to take. Deflation that each of us has to take. Of the sacrifice that we shall all have to make in order to live and work together. Sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desires, giving up personal ambitions, no big shotism, renunciation of personal prestige, giving up natural desires for personal distinction. Keeps adding to the list. I look, as I was preparing for this session, I thought it was important for me to go back over my last 32 years and 5 months and a few days to see how I stacked up against these ideas. So I looked at my personal recovery in the 12 steps and the program outlined in the books and in the pamphlets and in the fellowship and in sponsorship and all of those things that I've been privileged to be able to draw from and use. And I ain't bad. Not bad. Not bad. I've had to use the 10th step a lot. So that means that I didn't get... You know, the others don't work for me on a 100% basis. I wouldn't have to use it the first night. I've had to go back and take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 several times. I've not had to go back and take the first half of the first step, however. But my life has become unmanageable a time or two because I have trouble with sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desires. I've had some trouble with a quarter of the four absolutes. For those of you that know me, would understand that that's purity. For those of you that know me well, know that I've had a real problem with that with one quarter of the absolute purity. But so maybe I get a B plus, even with not doing well on that particular absolute. Maybe I get a B plus in my application of these ideas to my personal program of recovery. As far as application of these ideas to the traditions is concerned, I've probably done better, I think. I can't think back on an occasion when I have not been pretty flexible and sacrificial and restraining and humble. Maybe it's hard for me to be humble, but in the application of the traditions, I've been pretty flexible with the traditions, I think. I think I probably get a better than a B plus. And I look back over. I looked at my home group situation in Greensboro and Stone Mountain and here, and all of the groups that I've gone to and visited and been privileged to be in, and I've been in some meetings like Joe and Charlie talk about, that if they didn't read the preamble or the purpose, you wouldn't know where you're at. But I've been to some that were not as good as others. But I've never been to one that wasn't good enough to keep me sober till I get to the next one, so I guess they were all pretty good. And I haven't chosen to mess around with that too much, really. Kevin has described it here. And I want to keep it that way, too. I want to keep it going that way. Maybe, as Bill says, because I really want to obey. Not because I have to, but because I really want to. How do you feel about that? How do you feel? Ask yourself the question. How you done with sacrifice and with self-restraint, with humility, with giving up personal desires, giving up personal ambitions, with big shotism, with renunciation of personal prestige, with giving up natural desires for personal distinction? How have you done with them? I know you've done well with them in the personal program. You wouldn't be here tonight, I guess. Be out there somewhere. How about the tradition? How have you done with them in the tradition? I'm going to keep asking myself that. I think I want to keep it that way with me, because I want to hang around you folks and continue to grow in recovery. I'm going to try hard to continue to grow in recovery every day until you all are gathered around singing "On Jordan's Stormy Banks I Stand" and "Pass the Whistle Up" over me. You can finally say, it quit growing in the front. But I want to keep growing until then. And so I'm glad you let me study these ideas more, so I know what it takes for me to continue to do that. And just as important, I want this to be available to you and to the others out there who are members, to those who are yet to come, that we'll be introduced to tonight and tomorrow night and next week and next month. I want this to be available for them and to them. And I know you do too. But I want it to be available for my children and my children's children and my children's children's children. I want this program to be available for them if they need it. And to do that, I have to be sacrificial, and I have to restrain myself, and I have to do all these things that we've talked about. Bill said, in the book, Pass It On page 342, possibly some have used this so far, I want to use it again. I'm moved by it. Bill had gone back to Akron in November 1950, a few months after the 1950 annual conference in Cleveland where the 12 traditions had been adopted. And this time he went to see Dr. Bob, and he went there to present the idea to him about the foundation. that the two of them had been heading up, and his desire and the convention's desire to turn that over to Alcoholics Anonymous. And he picked up on the fact that Dr. Bob had kind of fought this a little bit and been resistant to it, but he went to try to present it to him, and he knew that Bob was dying, and he knew that he had to get that done. So he presented a convincing presentation, and Dr. Bob endorsed the idea, finally, and it was presented at the next convention in 1955. That was in November 1950 when he did that. Dr. Bob died a few days later. Bill says this about it and passed it on. A few hours later, Bill said goodbye. And this is what he said. I went down the steps and then turned to look back. He said Bob stood in the doorway, tall and upright as ever. This was my partner, the man with whom I'd never had a hard word. The wonderful old broad smile was on his face as he said almost jokingly, "Remember, Bill, let's not loss this thing up. Let's keep it simple." Bill says I turned away, unable to say a word. That was the last time I ever saw him. I love that. How much more simple has it got to be? How much more simple can we make it? Tradition 12. How much more simple? It goes like this. Anonymity, sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desires, giving up personal ambitions, no big shotism, renunciation of personal prestige, giving up personal desires for personal distinction is a spiritual, non-material, bodiless, unworldly foundation or support of all our traditions and steps in the remainder of the program, ever reminding us to place principles, the basics, before personalities, the character and or behavior of any of its members. That's tradition 12. If you ever went to Akron and went to Doctor, if you read some of the material, and if you ever went to Akron, you went to a cemetery where Dr. Bob and Annie were buried. You need to know that leading up to Dr. Bob putting the headstone on or Dr. Bob's death, there were many people in Akron who wanted to note on the, they wanted to create an edifice, a great edifice in Dr. Bob's memory and have it at the cemetery as a headstone. And so Bill took this idea to Dr. Bob that these folks had been, he had a plan, had it drawn and everything, and he said to Bill, he said, let you and I die just like other folks. But Bill had thought that it would be a great tribute to a great man, and he says, his lady. I love that. A great man and his lady. But if you went there to the cemetery, you would find that there's no mention of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just very simple headstone for Bill and Ann, or for Dr. Bob and Ann, and their dates, and that's all. If you went to East Dorset, Vermont, and looked at the headstone for Bill, you would note that neither there is there any mention of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's some mention of his military career, simply the dates of his birth and the date of his death. And the same with Lois, who's resting beside him. No mention of Alcoholics Anonymous. Is this carrying it too far? Bill says when he discusses that in the book that this, when he talks about Dr. Bob's not wanting any reference of Alcoholics Anonymous on his headstone or any great memorial built for him, he terms that self-effacement. Self-effacement. So he adds another one even to the list. You see, now he's got self-effacement in there as a descriptive word for anonymity as it's supposed to mean in Tradition 12. Was this a problem of Tradition 11, their headstones? Certainly not. Certainly they could have had some mention of co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous on their headstones without violation of Tradition 11. That wouldn't be a disclosure at the level of press, radio, and films or television. There would be no downside to that. There at the great meeting in the sky, they didn't have any more risk of damaging the image of Alcoholics Anonymous. Certainly they could do it within the confines of Tradition 11, but not within the suggested confines of Tradition 12. Sacrifice, restraint, humility, giving up personal desires, giving up personal ambitions, no big shotism, renunciation of personal prestige, giving up natural desires for personal distinction, self-effacement. Those are the words that describe anonymity. That's Tradition 12, pure and simple. I must do that. I want to do that for the reasons that I've already said. I'm not going to say you must do it. I hope you want to do it for those reasons. But if for no other reason, why should I do it? Because these guys said so. That's why. And they ain't been wrong yet. Thank you. God bless you.